And we continue our series of updates of the other teams in the AFC North. Today we're going to take a look at the Cincinnati Bengals, and helping us to do that is our good buddy Jeff Hobson from CincinnatiBengals.com. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Victor, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting offseason for this Bengals team, particularly when we look at the offensive backfield and the additions that have been made there. We start with a couple of players added to the list at cornerback. Terrence Newman comes aboard from the Cowboys in free agency, as does Jason Allen coming aboard from the Texans. I just look at the list now. That brings to, what, a half dozen first-round players in the secondary, or at least on the depth chart of the secondary of the Bengals.
Right. I think the work in numbers, six first-round corners and throw-in safety Reggie Nelson, and that's seven first-round DBs. And, you know, talking to some folks, you know, a guy like Peter King is saying, you know, well, a lot of those guys haven't been, you know, productive in their in their previous stops. But I think, the point is that these guys have played well when, you know, it depends how they're used. I think Jason Allen is a guy that really feels comfortable playing a corner rather than going back and forth. So I think that, you know, they've got him specifically a corner. Terrence Newman is a guy that grew up in Mike Zimmer's system in Dallas.
Right.
And Zimmer's pleased to have the guy. You know, I think they felt like Newman had a crisis of confidence in Dallas the last year. They cut him, and, you know, there was the thinking was that, you know, he's going to be 34 in September and he's done. These guys think not. Zimmer thinks he looks as good as he did when he was, you know, 27, 28 and going to Pro Bowls.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's all how you use these guys. You know, it's a coach's league, and Zimmer is known as being a hell of a DB coach as well as a coordinator. And, you know, the big thing, Vic, was they got these guys thinking that Leon Hall might not be ready, at least early in the year, but Hall has looked terrific.
Okay.
And the thinking is he'll be ready to take that first snap at training camp as he comes off an Achilles injury.
Right. And adding Dre Kirkpatrick, we'll talk a little bit more about the draft in a minute, but that's another of the corners on the first
round that
this team has. So,
and the great thing about it is they don't have to rush Kirkpatrick. They can ease him in.
Right. Former teammate, of course, of Trent Richardson, Alabama, the Browns' first-round pick. And, you know, again, we're starting this conversation with defense. What a shock, right? Because in the AFC North, I mean, it's really defined by that, as we know. And there's a lot to talk about with the Bengals offense. But still talking about the defensive side, it's Marvin Lewis and it's Mike Zimmer. And it's that mindset that you've got to be strong and stout there. And it looks to me like that's really the priority of this football team.
Yeah, I think the thinking, Vic, is that they're going to be strong up the middle, I think, is they want to be they want to have that good defensive front, you know, and they want to be able to cover. And I think that's if they can get to the quarterback and cover, I think and stop a fellow by the name of Trent Richardson and Ray Rice and these great AFC North backs, that's the formula. And you know, they had the they think they've got that in the secondary. They certainly have guys that can cover, and they've got all their starters back on a defensive line and of a defense that finished overall seventh in the league. And they've added, you know, they lost their two backup linemen, Rucker and Fanene, but yet they feel like they kept pace with that when they signed Jamal Anderson in free agency and drafted Devin Still and Brandon Thompson early in the draft. So I think that's the formula. They look at a team like the Giants.
Right.
Great front four, great line, able to cover. That's how the Giants have done it, how many teams have done it. I think the Bengals are trying to follow in those footsteps.
Yeah, Frosty Rucker, of course, one of the free agent acquisitions of the Browns. Talking about the offense, and an interesting move, I think, and I want you to explain this. Cedric Benson, the Bengals decide not to keep him and instead go with more of a running back by committee approach. Why are they doing that?
Well, I think, you know, they feel like the days of the bell cow are gone. You know, guys getting worn down. I think the thinking is, you know, you're looking for more, you know, you like to get more spark, a few more big plays, and I, you know, guys take a lot of hits nowadays, and I think they just look at some of the better teams are kind of rotating backs, and Cedric Benson, you know, did what he was supposed to do here, but they come with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who's an interesting guy. He doesn't have, he's not the big spectacular long run guy that they hope is Bernard Scott, who has done that in the past. but they're thinking that a 1-2 punch, also sprinkling Brian Leonard, is going to is going to make Ellis and Bernard more effective. Mm-hmm. And I think the thinking is that Ben Jarvis is the guy. They've really been hurting. A real weakness for them has been red zone, short yardage, and goal line. Being able to run in those situations. It's funny, they have great running stats, but they're never able to run the ball when they have to. And I think they feel like in Green Ellis, they get a very reliable guy who's never fumbled. We were talking about this before, Vic. Never fumbled in high school, college, or the pros. He's the perfect AFC North back in that regard. Tough guy, knows where to go. And then you sprinkle that with Bernard, who can pop a big one on you. And I think that's what Jay Gruden wants to do. Been talking about a back by committee ever since he got here. And, that kind of peeved Cedric. And it was time to move on there. And Jay likes to throw to his backs, too. And, Cedric's just not really he can do it. And he made some big plays in the passing game, but that's not his shtick.
Right.
But I think, Green Ellis can do it, and Bernard can do it. They're emphasizing that with him. In the first 3 years with Bernard, they have felt like he wasn't ready to contribute in the passing game. They feel like now that he is. So I think that's, there's a variety of reasons why they're going that route.
Jeff Hobson joining us from CincinnatiBengals.com as we continue our series of updates of AFC North teams on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The big story of the Bengals last year, of course, was Andy Dalton as a rookie quarterback having a very strong year as a starter, surprisingly, maybe to some looking at it from the outside, and then having A.J. Green be the impact player at receiver that he was. Now that the two of them, they did this last year just on the basis of a training camp to prepare for the season. This year, they get to work like all teams in the league. They get an off season that we didn't have in 2011. And I'd like your observations on what you've seen of them during the offseason workouts and how that's going to impact maybe that hope that they have of building better chemistry.
Yeah, I think, it's always kind of tough to tell, Vic, during these, they're not hitting, there's no pads, and the defense always seems to be ahead of the offense anyway, But Dalton looks like he's throwing the ball well, Green is just you can't cover him. So now they've had to me the amazing thing about last year, what they did as rookies was to win that game on the road against the Browns up there in their first game when they'd virtually had 36 days of experience together. They just had no, because of the lockout, and now they've had all this time together. So I think the thinking here is, well, they can't help but be better. AJ just is a, that's the thing. There was a big thing in the middle of camp. Dalton, the closest thing they've had to a controversy here was Greg Cosell of NFL Films musing about Dalton's lack of arm strength and the Bengals aren't really, aren't all in on him yet. Well, that was, they are in on him because when Mike Brown dealt Carson Palmer, that meant they were in on AJ, on Andy Dalton. And then, he threw a couple balls 60, 70 yards in the air during camp, and it looked good. And Green caught everything. Green is just someone called him, he's just a beast. So it looks like things are headed in the right direction.
You mentioned Jay Gruden's name, and his stamp on this offense, of course, was felt last year. The balance that he wants to bring to it, but also in hoping to open up other things within the passing game. But, his ideas about running back by committee doesn't mean less of an approach by running backs. It's still a very important part of the game. It's just how he wants to change things up and of course, developing Andy Dalton a little further. Give me your take on what we can expect from a Jay Gruden run offense in year two.
I think they'll try to run the ball. I think they'll spread out the carries. I think they're going to try and get Jermaine Gresham more involved. Dalton's big tight end, who was their first round pick in 2010, was actually taken 21 selections before Rob Gronkowski. And I think they feel like they have that Gresham is really an untapped weapon right now. And you guys will remember me. That was actually Dalton's first touchdown pass of his career up in Cleveland, and that was a big play near the end of the first half. And they think that's what they got to get more out of Jermaine in the red zone and down the field for some big plays. I think you'll see more Gresham. I think to me, Vic, the big thing you'll see is the offense kind of taking two or three more strides, and I think that means more timing, more rhythm throwing from Dalton. And trying to work those number two receivers in there. There's a bevy of them. There's no clear cut running mate for AJ with Jerome Simpson gone to Minnesota. But I think they feel like that's another thing where they can go by committee on the outside and using Gershman Green as their main weapon. So I see it. I see a little bit more of Dalton rhythm throwing, running. Carries scattered throughout the running back core, and those big plays to Green will all, and those big plays to Green and Gresham with AJ, of course, being the go-to guy.
Jeff, in the draft, the Bengals ended up with 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. If you could talk, we touched upon Dre Kirkpatrick, who they can bring along, as you said, kind of slowly here at corner from Alabama because of the other additions in free agency. But and you touched upon Devin Still coming aboard from Penn State. The impact of players that you see in this group.
Well, I think that the guy who's going to start right away and they think is going to be a factor is Kevin Zeitler, the guard from Wisconsin, who they took with that 27th pick when they traded down with New England to get an extra third round pick, and he'll start right away. I think Devin Still, the second rounder, the defensive tackle from Penn State, and Brandon Thompson, the defensive tackle from Clemson, who came with that extra third round pick, they'll make the club, obviously, and I think they'll. I think they'll play some. But I think obviously they'll start out. They're playing behind a very good group of guys. Paco and Atkins are top shelf guys, but they will work in a rotation, maybe 8-10 snaps a game, something like that, to start out. And then I think beyond that, I think Orson Charles is an interesting guy, the tight end from Georgia that they got in the fourth round. And I think that the guy who really will probably make an impact besides Zeitler is going to be Sanu, the third-round receiver from Rutgers, who they think he's a little bigger and a little faster than T.J. Houshmandzadeh. Can play the slot, can play all. I mean, this is a thing where they've had problems here with guys – kind of picking up the playbook. We heard a little bit about that, about Chad in New England, he had trouble picking up things.
Yeah.
And Bob Gronkowski, had said, look, we don't want to put too much on his plate, so he only plays one spot. Well, Simpson was kind of in the same. That's why it took Simpson so long to get on the field, according to the coaches, because they had trouble absorbing the playbook. Well, they don't have guys like that now. They've got, Sanu walked in here in his first practice. He played all 3 spots. And the same thing, and by the end of by the time this thing was up, most of the receivers had. And I think a lot of that is because of Jay's offense. It's
sure.
Because it's, he makes it easy enough that the things can be interchangeable. But I think they got a different kind of guy. And with Sanu, I think he plays, I think Zeitler obviously is going to play right away. He'll be the first rookie guy to start, I believe, since Steinbach. And Sanu, I think he'll be. I think he's a slot guy starting out, and he could contend for that number two job too. But Sanu's a very smart guy, a lot of TJ in him, savvy, finds the holes, knows how to shield. Just seems has an instinct for being able to shield defenders and to find an open spot. And they're really high on him. Now he's not that burner, but TJ got loose too, even though he didn't run fast. So takes brains too. So I think the two out of those 5 picks, I think the guys you're going to see come quickly are Zeitler and Sanu.
Interesting stuff, Jeff. Thanks so much for breaking it down, and we look forward to talking with you down the line.
Victor, sounds good. Have a good summer. Thank you.
All right. Jeff Hobson from CincinnatiBengals.com helping us as we continue in our series of updates of the other teams in the AFC North here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.